Welcome to episode 380 of the 10-10 Thrive podcast. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. I'm Peter Anderson. This is our 2022 Easter special.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise."
Drive the nails through my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground.
It was just over 16 years ago. I was sitting in a classroom in our school building in Newark, New Jersey, leading a workshop for a group of parents. My cell phone began to vibrate, and from across the room, I saw my sister's name on the caller ID. I knew why she was calling. Closed my eyes and I took a deep breath. My father had been placed into hospice care the day before. I knew what would come next. I just never imagined it would happen so soon. My father's death was not shocking. Given his age, given recent illnesses, it was to be expected. Although it took a long time for my heart to heal and for me to be consoled by Bible promises, to be solaced by conviction that he had surrendered his life to the Lord, to be soothed by reminiscing about the many good times that we had had together, one thing that I had to admit was that he had defied the odds. He had lived a longer and fuller life than most. What was shocking was the death of my nephew earlier this year, or my high school classmate last year, or my good friend from college the year before. Why did these people with so much to live for die so young? How can we fill the gaping holes that their deaths created in the lives of so many of us? Death, grief, loss. It's a part of being human. There is no life without death. There is no joy without pain. There is no gain without loss. There is no laughter without tears. Not in this world. Not in a world marred by sin, not among a people scarred by the fall. Still the sorrows, the setbacks, the sufferings will pass. We can find comfort in the theology of the resurrection.
I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and
There are many ways we Christians try to understand the resurrection of Jesus. We like to talk about it as the most important element in the plan of salvation. We analyze it as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Philosophers deconstruct it metaphysically. Artists from Rembrandt to Raphael to Peter Paul Rubens to Pericle Fazzini and countless others have captured its essence in pigment or stone. Actors from stage to screen to platforms in church basements depict in drama the panoply of characters and events. Each Easter in hymn and liturgy, Christians around the world remind one another what happened on a spring morning almost 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Yet there is only one way to really understand Jesus' resurrection as deeply and profoundly as it was meant to be understood. By standing at a grave, looking down at the body of someone you loved, one whom you will never again see alive on this earth. For Jesus' resurrection is not a theological idea, or a historical event, or a philosophical construct, or a literary narrative, but a personal promise that God will heal the deepest sadness that human beings can feel. That said, knowledge of what happened on Easter Sunday doesn't instantly chase away the sadness of our grief. Even the disciples who walked and talked with Jesus were filled with terror, despair, and bewilderment after the cross. And when they heard that Jesus had been resurrected, at first they were confused, at first they were doubtful, at first they were still afraid. But eventually their shock turned to awe, turned to gratefulness, turned to love. We might start out heartbroken, but we can end up in a much different place when the reality of the resurrection takes hold. And when the sadness begins to subside a little, we can begin to understand that the resurrection is about hope. It is about healing. It is about forgiveness. It is about a future. It is about victory over sin, victory over our weaknesses and our limitations. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit to lift us above our circumstances. Father, thank you for a creator, redeemer, savior, and soon coming king who is not just one who starts, but more importantly, one who finishes. May the good work started in us be finished. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.